May we hope to commence our worship of God this evening by singing together hymn 318, hymn 318, to the tune Avon number 4. Hymn 318. God of eternal love, how fickle are our ways, and yet how oft did Israel prove thy constancy and grace. Hymn 318, tune Avon number 4.
Thank you. evening we'll turn to the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, and we'll read firstly in chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we will read from verse 14 to the end of verse 22. And then we will read chapter 11. Chapter 10, we'll read from verse 14 to the end of verse 22. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? And now we'll read from chapter 11. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoureth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoureth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head, because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies or sects among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, or ye cannot eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. I'll leave the reading of God's word there this evening, and may he help each one of us now to truly pray. Most holy and almighty Lord God in heaven, we come, at least outwardly, in way of prayer. But thou alone knowest inwardly whether we are approaching unto thee even now. May we each be given that spirit of true humility before a holy God. We bow before thee now, seeking this evening, through our worship together, to bring honour and glory to thy name. That tonight we may be able to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We may be coming in that true repentant confessing frame of mind, that we may marvel that we have been spared to see another Lord's Day, when we have an understanding a little of what we are by nature, that we deserve thy righteous judgment and condemnation. Yeah, thou art long-suffering, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And we plead that mercy tonight. And may that be the pleading of every heart. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And through Jesus Christ, and through the application of it by thy Spirit, O Lord, may we be able to come boldly to the throne of grace, to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. There may be those tonight that are dead in trespasses and sins, unrepentant, unregenerate, uncaring. Lord, we cannot make alive, but means are used, and through the preaching of the word this evening, may there be those that are quickened to life. Those that have come, will come, and will continue to come confessing their sin, knowing that our days are truly numbered, and we know not the number of them. Help us to live each day as if it may be our last. Do not know when thy dear Son will come again to judge the earth. We do not know when our last breath will be. So may we know for heaven our credentials are clear. Help us to make our calling and election sure, that we may have peace with thee through Jesus Christ. For Lord, we look to much in this earth, and we thank thee for all that we do have, which is much. But may we have that one thing needful. May we have those treasures in heaven. May we have something beyond this life. Because we look to this life, we get overcome by it, and we forget that we can take nothing into the grave. But Lord, we come with true thankfulness tonight for that help through another day, and through another month of time since we last gathered round thy table. Lord, we pray that thy blessing may rest upon us this evening as we seek to do so again. And Lord, we pray that there may be those likewise here tonight that before too long will gather around the Lord's table too. Lord, we seek that this cause, this congregation, this church may know thy strengthening hand, may see through the ups and downs of life that thy hand is leading and guiding, and that the preached word in this pulpit and the read sermons from time to time may prove to feed souls and be that which does them good. And we will pray for the children and young people that are here tonight and have gathered during the day and would ordinarily be here on thy day. Do be with them and bless them. As they grow up, Lord, may the preaching that is spoken from this place be suitable for them as well. May there be that which is explained simply in the word of truth that they can understand as well. For Lord, they need to worship thee in the days of their youth as well as the old. May there be that true simplicity in the expounding of Scripture and the application by thy Spirit to individuals. But in their youth, may they remember their Creator. May they have the fear of the Lord implanted within them. May they be much in prayer even when they are young in years, seeking that yes, thou wilt go before them in all their pathway, but above all that they may plead for that knowledge of thee savingly. then Lord, we would pray for those one older in years here this evening. Do be with her in her need. Lord, do we thank that she has strength to come out this evening, and do help her in increased afflictions and pathway. Lord, do help her. We pray for Philip and Emily with the wedding due on Wednesday. Lord, go before them in these coming days before the wedding, in all the many arrangements that have to be made. We pray, Lord, that they may go smoothly, all that is left to be done, and that on that day it may be a happy and a joyful day, and that they may have the given unto them that realization of the step that they are taking together, and what it means to be husband and wife according to thy word. Help them to cherish, to love, to support, to care for one another, and to know the solemn vows that they will take before thee and in the presence of many witnesses. So do help them in it, we pray. Provide for their every need, and Lord, bless them chiefly in their souls. Help them, if it be thy will, as they begin their married life together, they may begin it and carry it on with thee. Help them to worship thee together at home, in reading, in praying, in talking, in encouraging one another. Keep them, Lord, from all that is wrong, and may they in due time be raised up to be pillars in wherever they go to worship. And Lord, what we pray for them, we pray for all the young people, that those right partners may be provided for them, that they may see thy goodness going before them in these matters and in all ways. We pray for one that takes that service on Wednesday. Do help him. Give him that clarity of mind as he leads that service, and that all may be done decently and in order, and may go smoothly, and no distractions will take over. And as he preaches the gospel, Lord, may be applied with power. And those that may attend who may not ordinarily come to a worship service, may they likewise be fed from thy word. Question that there is a real God. There is a God, the one true God, and may be brought to bow before thee. We remember all those that worship today. Pray for our brethren in the ministry that preach the word. Help each and every one. Those that labour this evening, Lord, help them too. We give thanks for those baptisings that have taken place this day at Bethel. Do be with those that have gone through the waters of baptism today, and one last Saturday too at Handcross. We thank thee that thy hand is being seen, thy work is continuing. And Lord, we pray that many more may put on that open profession of faith and come to say, I love the Lord. Lord, we come with that true confession of sin, and if we do not come with that true confession, give us true repentance so that we do. For once more we have sinned and come short of thy glory even on this day, and we prove sin is mixed with all we do. So Lord, as we bow before thee now, help us to truly do so. Lord, may sin be exceedingly sinful in our sight. May we be given grace by thy Spirit to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to put to death that which is wrong. Lord, may we know more and more the sanctifying power of thy Spirit, so that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and that we shrink in the old man, and the lusts of the flesh are truly subdued by thy power. Help us to put on the whole armour of God, and to walk in that right way, that narrow way that leads to life eternal. We pray for our land and nation at this time. Lord, we have had those local elections in recent days, and I know it's all about these things, and as the general election will come at some point this year, we pray, Lord, that godly men and women will be raised up in Parliament. Lord, we tremble at the state of our nation and all the many, many evils that there are about us all, but may it be a reminder to every one of us, the sinful world we are in, but where it all comes from, our sinful natures. Lord, ever deliver us from judging one another, from thinking that we are better than anybody else. Lord, if we have not fallen into the depths of depravity, it is only because in thy grace thy restraining hand has been kept upon us. And we plead, Lord, keep it. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So help us together this evening as we worship thee. Lord, may we truly be found humbly before thee. We pray that the people before us may be given those ears to hear, that the word spoken may be applied with power tonight, that it may do real and lasting good. Lord, we greatly fear our inability, but we do not come in our own strength. And we pray, Lord, for thy strength and every word to speak, and that the people likewise may have those ears to hear. So be with us together tonight, we pray. Forgive our many sins and all that we've asked amiss. For we ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, our Tuesday evening service will take place on a Friday evening. There will be no service here on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Graham Cotton is engaged again to preach during the evening service and has helped. There will be a red address during the prayer meeting and a red sermon during the morning service. On Wednesday there will be a wedding service at 12 noon, being the wedding of Emily Saunders and Philip Burgess. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together 132, hymn 132, tune Lloyd 172. A friend there is, your voices join, ye saints, to praise his name, whose truth and kindness are divine, whose love's a constant flame, when most we need his helping hand. This friend is always near, with heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. His love no end or measure knows, no change can turn its course, immutably the same it flows from one eternal source. Hymn 132, tune Lloyd 172. Thank you.
Lord, help us all as we gather around his word this evening, both in the preaching and the hearing of it. I'll ask you to turn with me, please, to the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 11. The first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 11, and verses 27 and 28. One Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 27 and 28. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, was writing to a church which was surrounded by a very pagan society, and many of that which was wrong in the society about them was in the church. And in these chapters particularly that we have been reading, but in other chapters too, he is speaking practically about many ways in which there was that being done which was wrong. And we have that instruction between the relationship between a husband and wife, the proper way or the abuses that there were in various religious assemblies. And then as we come to this portion particularly, we have those wrong ways in which they were partaking of the Lord's Supper. They were coming together, as we read of in verse 18, they were coming together divided. There were divisions or schisms among you. There were those varying factions in the church. And that is, if there are those divisions in a church, if there is that falling out with a brother or sister in the church, it is clear we are not then to sit down at the Lord's table. Because that is what the church signifies. It signifies a body. And we are all members of that one body. There is to be unity. That doesn't mean that we will all be alike. That doesn't mean that we will all look at things in exactly the same way. But it means that there will be a true love when there are slight variations. There will be that eye that looks over the slight faults that we may see in our fellow brothers and sisters in the church. That does not mean there is not to be discipline or pulling up of one another when we fall short. But there should not be those factions. There should not be those clear divisions and hatred among one another. But also, as we read on, we see that when they were coming together, they were basically coming together greedily and like a feast. We read, don't we, in verse 21, they weren't coming, partaking of, as it were, of the Lord's Supper, remembering what they were doing. They were coming, everyone taketh before others his own supper. They were devouring the food that was there, and were getting, basically, engorging themselves on what was before them, and becoming drunk. There was not that right reverence and respect as they partook of this most solemn of ordinances. What I wanted to try and focus on this evening really is who the Lord's Supper is for, firstly, and what the purpose of this Lord's Supper is, secondly, and then to consider, lastly, how we come. Because at the first part of this verse 27, our text, we have those words, don't we? Wherefore, whosoever. So who is this soever? Who tonight should be taking this bread and drinking this cup? And maybe there are those tonight that should be eating this bread and drinking this cup. Who should be? It is those that desire to remember the Lord's death. It is those to whom the Lord's death means something. And it will not mean anything to us if we do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It will not mean anything to us if we do not have true repentance and sorrow over our sin. But this supper, this institution, is for, firstly, the regenerate and the repentant. What do we mean by the regenerate? We mean those that are born again. Jesus said, didn't he, to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And if there are those tonight here that are not born again, they should not be partaking of the Lord's Supper, because they do not know or see the kingdom of God. They have not entered into the sphere of salvation, and they are in danger of hell. They know nothing, the unregenerate, of what Christ is and what he means to them. So are we like that this evening? Are we dead in trespasses and sins? Does Christ mean nothing to us tonight, so therefore the wages of sin is death? Full stop. No, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Are we just at that point in an unregenerate, unconverted state where the wages of sin is death? And if that's the case, then we should not be sitting at the Lord's table. But do we know anything of the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Has there been a change in your soul? John 3 verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You may not be able to pinpoint a date, a time, a moment when the Lord changed you. But can you see the effects of it? Can you see the powerful working within that has now caused you to see a holy God? See yourself as a sinner? See your need of Christ? This, dear friends, is and can only be the work of the Spirit. And if we have not had that work of the Spirit changing us, we are not right to sit at the Lord's table. But dear friends, what do we read of in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It is that being born again through the Spirit that gives, as we read in the previous verse of the one that we have just quoted, that unfeigned love of the brethren. It is that changes the heart and makes us love those that we would never ordinarily love. Because we love through Christ. Because He has loved us. We are one with those brothers and sisters in the church. And we're talking of the one true church here. Through that being born again, by the word of God, we are a changed people. Because be in no doubt, dear friends, if we are not born again, if we are not ready to sit down at the Lord's table, we are children of wrath. Because in the early verses of Ephesians 2, when it speaks about those that are regenerate or born again or quickened or brought to life, there is a time past. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world. But maybe this to you tonight is in time present, you walk according to the course of this world. If that's the case, you have no place at the Lord's table. But if in time past you walked according to the course of this world, among whom everyone in this chapel had our conversational behaviour in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature of the children of wrath, even as others, if we're in that place or were in that place, if we have not been born again, we have no right to sit at this table. But in Ephesians 2, verse 4, there is a but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. The Lord's table is for those that by God's grace, through His rich mercy, through His everlasting eternal love, have known their hearts changed. They have no... Yes, we have a lust after the world in some measure, all of us here. There is no perfect person in this church. And if you ever find a perfect person in a perfect church, then don't join it because you'll ruin it. But there is not in this earth, and there never will be. We're all sinners. But the point is this. When those are born again, there'll be a sorrow over sin. There'll be a grief that we do wrong. There'll be a falling before the Lord, crying for mercy. And, dear friends, we need to be careful because we're not all brought into those deep places of conviction of sin. But there will be within everyone a love to the Lord. There will be, as is described in Acts 16 with Lydia, there will be that heart that is opened. And does that describe you, maybe, this evening, whose heart the Lord opened? The Lord's opened your heart. So what's the opposite of being opened? It's shut, isn't it? Can you look to a time, maybe then, when your heart was completely shut to the things of the Lord? A time when you were so shut up and away from Christ, you had no interest in coming to chapel. You had no hunger and desire to be here. Yes, you might have come here because your parents told you to come here. Or you might have come here to keep anybody else happy. But your heart was shut. Lydia, we do not read of a great moment of conversion. But somewhen, somehow, her heart was opened. Until that heart was opened, she was ignorant of who she was before a holy God. She was completely hard, and she was full of unbelief. But when the regenerating power of the Spirit worked in the heart of Lydia, it opened up. The heart of stone, which was impenetrable, shut up, ignorant, hard, and full of unbelief, was taken away and was replaced by an open knowledgeable, soft, believing heart. That's what the work of the Holy Spirit does. That is for who the Lord's table is. That's the whosoever should eat this bread and drink this cup. But it is not only for the regenerate. It is for those that are regenerate and repentant. And it is for those that know that continual repentance and turning away from their sin. Turning away from the selfishness of ourselves first, which is what we see in the verses that we read earlier about them taking their supper before another's and acting in a selfish way. It is that repentance from sin, as we read of really in verse 28, which we'll come to shortly. Let a man examine himself and see if there is that within us which is wrong. And you know, there should be, as we come to the Lord's table, that right examination of ourselves. That searching of our hearts as to who we are and why we are coming and what this thing means. And whether our sorrow is a true sorrow over sin or whether it's just a mock humility over our sin. It's for all that true repentant soul that comes and lays their sin before the Lord, knowing that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we have come this evening to the Lord's table in that unrepentant way and we do not have that true sorrow over our sin, or we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So there must ever be, with that coming to the Lord's table, that humility of what we are. But coming in that humble way, knowing that we are unworthy, or aren't really, we have nothing to merit coming to the Lord's table in and of ourselves, does not mean that we partake unworthily. If we come boldly, carelessly, unrepentant, then we're partaking unworthily. But if we come humbly, we are coming in that right way. But before we move on to the next point, in the point of remembering, you know, it is coming with that right remembrance of the body and blood of the Lord. The enormity of this occasion. And you know, there are many churches now where the Lord's Supper is degenerated into nothing more than, well, a circus really. The wine and the bread may have been replaced by Coke and biscuits, or whatever else churches will do to try and encourage people to come in. It will be done in a irreverent, an irreverent way, which is so far departed from the true import of what this supper means. Because as we come on to our next point, it is to be done in remembrance. That's what we see at the close of verse 24 and 25. Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And verse 25, this cup's the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So we come to remember. We come to remember the broken body of Christ. We come to remember that perfect, sinless body. We read, don't we, in Hebrews chapter 10, where it speaks much about the perfect sacrifice. We read, don't we, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. As we partake of the Lord's Supper, we remember his perfect, sinless humanity. That he stooped, the Holy God, the Creator of the universe, stooped, became God incarnate, God manifest in the flesh, to live that perfect life of obedience that you and I could never live. So that robe of righteousness that he wrought could be placed on his people's shoulders in return for what? Their sin. It's that body, it's that true humanity that we come and remember. My thoughts go to verse 2 in hymn 11. Thy mercy in Jesus exempts me from hell. Its glories I'll sing and its wonders I'll tell. 'Twas Jesus, my friend, when he hung on the tree, who opened the channel of mercy for me. It's that body that hung on the tree that we remember, that opened that channel of mercy for such a sinner. Great Father of mercies, thy goodness I own, and the covenant love of thy crucified Son. All praise to the Spirit, whose whisper divine seals mercy and pardon and righteousness mine. That's what we come to remember as we gather round the Lord's table. And is there one here this evening who isn't gathering round the Lord's table, who views the precious body and perfect sinless humanity of Christ as exceedingly precious? Then you should be here. If Christ means something to you this evening, if you cannot do without him, if his body means something, that man, that body, that face that was so marred, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. This is what we come to remember. The body of Christ. That body that was beaten. That was spat upon. And that crown of thorns was rammed on his sinless head. That blood that ran down his brow. That man that was in natural agony. We remember that body tonight. We remember the blood too. And how much blood there is recorded in the Old Testament, pointing to Christ. We read so much of it, don't we, with all the sacrifices and offerings. Moses took the blood, we read, don't we, and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. But that's the old covenant, dear friends. The old covenant of blood. The blood of bulls and of goats which pointed toward, and all those offerings which pointed toward Christ himself. But we look to that new covenant, don't we, as we've already quoted in Hebrews chapter 10. But we look to that new covenant. For the blood of bulls and of goats could not take away sins. But there is that new covenant. That new covenant through Christ's blood. That's what we remember. But why do we remember the blood? What's the purpose of the blood? We read, don't we, in Leviticus and in many other places, that the life is in the blood. Or as that word often in Leviticus can be interpreted, life can be interpreted, soul. And dear friends, as they looked in those old times, as blood being that the life, they knew that if an animal was slain and the blood drained out from it, the life had gone. Dear friends, So they view blood as death, but it's no different today, is it? We know that that miraculous fluid that is pumped around our bodies, it sustains us. It sustains us. And there is that very real way in remembering the blood of Christ this evening sustains us too. Because Christ's blood is that which gives us spiritual life. For through his death, his people could have life. So we look at that blood as that life-giving spiritual property of our Saviour. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But if we come worthily, if we come worthily, humbly, regenerate and repentant, finally tonight, how should we come? In what way? And firstly, it is this, with thanks. When you're given thanks, he break it. So if we know anything of our sinful nature and what we deserve, there can be nothing but thanks. And this is the sacrifice that the Lord requires of his people. That sacrifice of praise. All the other sacrifices are done away with. But let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's the sacrifice the Lord requires as his people gather round his table. With that thankful heart. But what causes that true thankful heart? Remembering that it is done for us, for sinners. It's only for sinners, dear friends. This ordinance is only for sinners. It's not for the righteous. It is for those sinners. When Jesus was in the upper room, he said he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So if you come tonight thinking your sins are too great, that's the way we should be coming, acknowledging that our sins are great, but that the blood of the New Testament which is shed for many is for the forgiveness of sins. It is for sinners. Sinners belong at the table. Sinners that are repentant of their sin and sorrow and mourn over it, those are welcome. Because Christ is the friend of sinners. Be thou forgotten never. A wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. We are to come, dear friends, really as that prodigal son, as he returned to his father. He came knowing he wasn't worthy to be received into his father's presence in and of himself, but his father didn't turn him away because he'd been a reprobate and had run off into the world and done all manner of wickedness. No difference. And it's no different for you, sinner, tonight. If you come sorrowing over your sin and who you are, undeserving of his goodness, you come. You come back to the Father like the prodigal son did. And what happened? He received him with joy. He threw his arms round him and kissed him because he saw the sinner return. But there is a very real way how we should come to the Lord's table. And it is with that amazement. There should be, as it were, that, why me? Why am I sitting here? What have I done to deserve the Lord's goodness And when we have to say absolutely nothing, we are amazed at his love. Hymn 766 speaks on that, doesn't it? Sovereign grace or sin abounding, ransomed souls the tidings swell, 'tis a deep that knows no sounding, who its breadth or length can tell, on its glories let my soul forever dwell. But the last verse, on such love my soul still ponder. Love so great, so rich, so free. Here is a sinner lost in amazement, isn't it? Saying, whilst lost in holy wonder, why, O Lord, such love to me? Alleluia, grace shall reign eternally. It is with that amazement that we should come to the Lord's Supper and sit around his table. But finally, how else, or one other way, how should we come? It should be with that true gratitude. And you know, we may come tonight, and you may come tonight, feeling to be like the Apostle Paul at the end of Romans 7, where through another week or another month, you have had to prove the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And you've had to cry out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But we come in gratitude with the Apostle Paul, saying, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So come with that gratitude for what Christ has done. So come realizing it's for sinners. So come with that amazement, that gratitude, and with that joy. And I turned up earlier that Psalm 40. And the last few verses of that psalm. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. And that's how we come to the Lord's table as well, isn't it? Desiring that the Lord be magnified. Come rejoicing and being glad in him, but knowing that we are poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. And as we gather around the table, the Lord is thinking upon us. He is thinking upon us as we gather. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So are we those regenerate people, those that have been born again by the Spirit of God? Are we those repentant people as we come and gather round his table? Are we those that have examined ourselves and searched our hearts by the grace of God to look at who we are? Are we those that are wielding and putting on the whole armour of God to fight the evil one and praying for grace and strength to do so? Are we those that value this sacrifice, truly value this broken body and this shed blood? But those that look on, are there those here that do value this body and blood, that can say, I love the Lord? If you love the Lord, why aren't you here? Because you only love him because he first loved you. And if he loves you, you are one of his. And his love no changes goes, despite your variance. And those whom he has loved, he will love forever. And are welcome to sit down at his table. So let everyone examine ourselves. Let everyone search their hearts. Let everyone see whether they should be doing what the Lord has commanded. Because it is that, it's not really for the believer a matter of choice whether they sit down at the Lord's Supper or partake of any of the other ordinances, baptism as well. It is a command. It is that which is to be done. So as we have looked at these verses briefly tonight, and as we now shortly gather round the Lord's table, may we enter a little into the Lord's death till he come. Because through that death, his people are delivered from, as it were, eternal destruction, eternal pain and suffering and sorrow. And if that doesn't cause us to offer up the sacrifice of praise tonight, then I don't know what will. May we be given more faith to truly value what this means. Be given faith to look to what these emblems point us to that we partake of tonight, and be found by his Spirit being drawn nearer to him. Amen. Let us now sing hymn number 1123 to the tune Rockingham number 398. Christ died for the ungodly. Stretched on the cross, the Saviour dies. Hark, his expiring groans arise. See, from his hands, his feet, his side, runs down the sacred crimson tide. But life attends each deathful sound and flows from every bleeding wound. The vital stream, how free it flows to save and cleanse his rebel foes. Hymn number 1123. Grounds are rise. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, from verse 39 to the end of verse 50. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. We have in this portion that we have read together two sayings of our Lord Jesus as he hung upon the cross. We have verse 46, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And in verse 50, not recorded in this verse, but recorded in the other Gospels, "It is finished." And, dear friends, the second words answer the first question. Why was he forsaken of his Father? So that his work could be finished. So that through his death, the whole price of his people's sins could be paid. And as we ponder these verses and the preceding verses and consider the sufferings of Christ and what he endured for love's sake for his people, when we are enabled by faith to truly draw into that, our hearts will be touched with love for one another. When we consider Christ's love, the anguish that he alone knew, and without being irreverent, there were many that were crucified and experienced that physical pain that Christ experienced, but none know that being forsaken wholly by God. His loving Heavenly Father, that had from all eternity been in complete and utter union with him, that union wasn't broken here in his divine nature, but in his human nature his Father's face was turned away from him, as he could not look upon the mass of sin that was placed upon his dear Son. And as he looked away from him, that darkness came upon the earth. And the forsaken feelings of Christ Jesus our Saviour were excruciating. You and I have known a tiny measure of what it is to be convicted under sin and the weight of it. That's only a little of the sin that we know about in our sinful nature. This perfect sacrifice was for the sins of all his people. And as our sins deserve infinite punishment, so his suffering, it could be said, was infinite too. He has paid that price that we deserved, and so could therefore cry out, "It is finished." The work had been done, and that is now what we remember as we partake of the bread and the wine. It is finished. What Christ came to achieve was completed and is completed. He has died, he has been buried, he rose again, he ascended on high, as we will remember later on this week, and he now lives to intercede for his people still. But his earthly work was finished. But he will come again in all his glory to judge the earth. And may we by faith be able to say, even so, come Lord Jesus. May we be given that desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, and be overwhelmed with thanksgiving as we now partake of his supper. Let us now give thanks for the bread. Most holy and gracious Heavenly Father, we now come and partake of this bread, which signifies the broken body of our Saviour, the dear Lord Jesus. And may he be made dear to us more deeply as we gather together tonight. Lord, we do so knowing that we've done nothing to deserve it. But that does not mean that we come unworthily. May we come with that sorrow over what we have done, but come with thanksgiving for what Christ has done, so that tonight we can partake in faith and by faith lay hold upon that perfect, sinless sacrifice. So bless this bread unto us, we pray, for we ask all in and through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Give thanks for the cup. Lord, we have partaken of the bread and now take the cup. This cup, which is the New Testament in Christ's blood. Now, as we take it, Lord, may we see that the blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, cleanseth from all sin. And may thy people know that cleansing not only from sin's guilt, but its power. And only, Lord, as we look by faith to a crucified Saviour, will sin's power wane. May we be overcome and overwhelmed more and more by love and thanksgiving unto thee, so that the lusts of the flesh, the pursuits and pleasures of the world, lose their allurement. And we will say, give me Christ, or else I die. So as we partake now, help us to do so solemnly and thankfully, joyfully and respectfully. We ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out. Let us now sing hymn number 449 to the tune Houghton number 808. Hymn number 449. What creatures beside are favoured like us, forgiven, supplied, and banqueting thus by God, our good Father who gave us his Son and sent him to gather his children in one. Salvations of God, the effect of free grace, upon us bestowed before the world was. God from everlasting be blessed, and again, blessed to everlasting. Amen and amen. Hymn number 449.
Good creatures beside are favored like us, forgiven, supplied, and banqueted thus by God.
Holy Lord God, we have been favoured to gather together to worship tonight and to gather around thy table together. Lord, we thank thee for this privilege, and may it strengthen us and nourish us to continue in the journey of life, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Draw our eyes away from this world heavenward, and to thee and to glory eternally, so that we can walk faithfully and uprightly in this pilgrimage. And be with those that have looked on this evening. May there be those shortly that are added to the church, those that have been born again, those that are repentant, those that love the Lord, to come and join here or elsewhere. So bless thy word, use thy word, help us to praise thee and offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving continually unto thee, with that true repentant, contrite, humble heart. Forgive everything that has been wrong in our worship this evening, and go before us for another week of time, and in everything that takes place in the life of every one of us here in this coming week, Lord, thou knowest, and we pray for thy rich blessing to go before us all. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.